Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good today. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to have a good cry in church every once in a while. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. You know, I just when I think about, man, what an amazing sacrifice that it really was. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, not just when he went to the cross, but when he was beaten before the cross, when Jesus went through all those things that he went through, he went through them without guarantee that one person would ever receive him. You realize that? You realize that God allowed his child to be sacrificed, allowed his son to be sacrificed to people that jeered at him, that spit on him. All those people that were doing that, I mean, literally were spitting on Jesus as he was being beaten and torn to shreds. You know, the Bible says that when on that day when he was crucified, that he was beaten beyond the visage of a man. They couldn't even recognize him as a human because he was beaten so bad. That his flesh was torn from his body, and that there's even a scripture, I think it's in the Psalms, that says, I can count all my bones. And it's a prophecy of Jesus looking down on his own beaten body, that he could count his bones. He could see his own bones because the flesh had been ripped away from his body. And you say, well, Pastor Jeff, why are you getting so graphic in church? It's because, you know, when I was raised in a church, and we saw Jesus on the cross with a little cut on the side and a couple marks on his hand and a couple marks on his feet. And maybe a little, you know, cuts from a crown of thorns. We didn't realize that the beating that he went through would have killed most humans. That's how severe it was. He went through 12 hours of severe Roman beating. And if you don't understand what Roman beating is, you don't want to know. This society has no idea what that culture put people through, and especially Jesus, because the devil unleashed all hell on Jesus. And he did it. Jesus did it because he loved us so greatly. And that's why it still amazes me when we have church and Christians take it so lightly, when they take the work of the Lord so lightly, because he paid such a price. I mean, can you imagine sending your child to war? So it's such a horrible thing that a lot of people even understand. You send your child to war and they died for the country, and as they came back, and people would, you imagine people spitting on that person and just completely, I don't care about that sacrifice. That's what Jesus did, so much more than that. That's just an example. And we would think it's horrible, but people do it every Sunday. They do it every time God calls to them and asks them to do something. They reject God and they push him away. Well, praise the Lord. It's the truth. It happens all over the place. There's Christians that don't know what it is to live as a Christian. They don't get into his word, and then they don't want to trust his word. They don't want to believe his word. They don't put their trust fully in him. And God said, I gave you everything. I gave you everything. If you're a parent here today, I want you to think of your own child and think about who you would sacrifice that child for. And I don't mean sacrifice that child and just kill that child and they're done. I mean sacrifice so brutally. Who you would allow your child to be sacrificed for. And I guarantee you there isn't one person that you would pick. There's not one person. There's not the greatest person in this world. There's not tens of thousands of people. There's not millions of people that you would sacrifice your child for. Praise the Lord, but God did. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's the Easter message. Glory to God. That's what it's all about. And that's not what I'm preaching about today, but I was inspired to say that. Amen? It is sobering. You know, we want to come to church and have a happy message. I understand that. But we also need to have the truth. Amen? Because we have to realize what's at stake. We have to realize why we do this. You know, we don't do this thing because it's easy all the time. We do this thing because it's what the Lord has for us to do. And because the Lord in it, the Lord has provided ways in it, but we have to take it seriously. We have to get hold of it. This is why many people fall away. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of people come into the church and they start getting helped. And then once they start getting their help, they're gone. They split. You don't see them anymore. They'll take off church for all kinds of lame things. And Jesus paid that price on the cross. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to go down that road anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we're talking about fruit of the mouth. Amen. And last week we talked about our words, and today we're going to talk about our words some more. We're using different scriptures, and we're kind of in the same flow, but I just sense that, you know, sometimes preaching on it just once isn't enough. sometimes you have to hit it again, and you have to hit it again, and you have to hit it again. And I want people to get this, because this is such an important part of a Christian walk, is the confession of our mouth. We will never have more than what we confess. We will never have more than what we say. Praise the Lord. Or we will only have what we say. So if we're speaking the wrong things, that's all we're ever going to see. I wanted to share this with you because I want to see if I can remember it the way I wanted to. But this came to me actually when I was talking to my son. I shared it last night, but I'm going to share it again today. What I wrote down was, when you make a thing, it becomes the thing. If we are going to make, or if we are going to make things a thing, we might as well make them something useful. Amen. What I mean by that is, when you make a thing, it becomes a thing. People make things. We have a habit as humans. Don't think I'm picking on anyone specific, because we all do it. Every single one of us, me as a pastor, I do it. It doesn't matter. We'll never get consecrated enough where we don't do this. It's just part of who we are. Amen. But people, they start. What they do is something becomes important to them, or something becomes whatever, and then they start making it a thing. You know, they start making it, like, maybe they discover something, and then they make that, they kind of put importance on it. And once they do that, they start really making it a thing, and to the point where it becomes the most valuable thing to them. And I hope that makes sense. You know, some people do that with sickness. They'll take hold of sickness. I'm always sick. I always lose. Whatever. They make it a thing, and then it's something that they just perpetuate by their speech, by their actions, by their beliefs. It's just something that we do. I did that once. I used to be very accident prone. Amen. And it seemed like I was, especially every September, it seemed like I was going to be in the hospital. And so I made it a thing. I recognized it as a thing, and so then I took it as a thing, and then I started making it a thing. And so every year I started getting freaked out when September would roll around, and sure enough I'd end up in the hospital or other things. I just expected I was going to get hurt in everything that I did. I made it a thing. And see, when we do that, whenever we make something a thing, it becomes our thing. Amen? And then that's what we do. Some people do it with, some people do it with bad relationships. Some people will just get into one bad relationship after another. They never do the thing that gets them out of it, because they make it their thing. Some people do it with, what they allow others to do. Some people allow others to walk over them repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly, because they've made it a thing. Amen. And we don't want to make anything. We don't want to make the wrong things a thing. If we're going to make something a thing, we might as well make it something useful. Let's make the Word our thing, amen? Let's make the Bible our thing. Let's make the Word of God in His direction, His plans, His life. Let's make that our thing, hallelujah. Let's say, you know what, I don't want to, even Christians do this a lot of times. I've gone through this. I love to step on religious devils, sacred cows, hallelujah. I like to kick sacred cows all the time. I love that, because, you know, the religion is so full of things that people have made. Let me go over a few of you. A few with you. And some of you, I've gone over this a little bit before, so you probably have heard some of it before. And if you have, and if you remember me saying it, then don't answer right. Just let the others answer wrong. Praise the Lord. But does anybody know what kind of fruit Adam ate when he what's that? Adam and Eve ate. Are you correcting me? I'm up here to. No, I'm just kidding. Does anyone know what kind of fruit Adam and Eve ate? Praise the Lord. A lot of people think apple. Yeah, it was a forbidden fruit. It was a fruit that we don't have today. But people just think it's an apple, because it's an illustration. Now listen, if you said apple, don't feel bad, because I thought that too. Does anybody know how many animals were on the ark? Of each kind. How many went on the ark of each kind? Two of each kind, right? Mm-mm. Two of each kind of the ones that weren't clean. The ones that were clean, seven of each kind went on. A lot of people don't realize that. Amen? They don't realize that, there's things in the Bible. This is the truth of the Word. You can get in there and find out for yourself. There's lots of these little things that religious people like to do. I like, one of the ones I love to run on all the time, and you'll hear me do it many times and hear me do it again, is the Lord's Prayer. Praise the Lord for the Lord's Prayer. But the Bible tells us, Jesus specifically said, He specifically said before he gave us the Lord's Prayer, do not pray as the heathen do with vain repetitions. And he said, when you pray, pray like this. He didn't say pray this, he said pray like this. Well, that like is a very important thing. What do people do? Every church, almost every Sunday, is doing a vain repetition of just repeating the Lord's Prayer. It is like one of those, you remember those, we call them Mad Libs, the books where you fill in the blank? That's what the Lord's Prayer actually is. So what people are doing is, it's like they're trying to read you a story by opening a Mad Lib book, but they're not filling in the blank for you. That's exactly what people do when they recite the Lord's Prayer. They're never getting into the meat of what God wanted us to do. He said, pray like, this is your model of how you pray. Now he said, have a relationship with me. Praise God. God wants us to have a relationship with him. Well, you think about your spouse. How would you love your spouse if your spouse just did a canned message every time they talk to you? Yeah. The husband comes home, for the wife comes home from work, whatever. They come home from work together and they meet each other there. Praise the Lord. And they open a book. Okay. Hi. I love you today. Work was good. How would you like that? That's exactly what that's doing. But you know what's funny about it? You can show people the truth, and their religion is so deep in them, it's so ingrained, that they'll still reject it. They'll still reject it. They'll still say, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say this? Well, no, it doesn't say this at all. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I knew a person once, and I'm going to share something. Little kids, plug your ears. Hallelujah. Teenagers, plug your ears too. You don't need to hear this yet. But I had a religious person tell me once, their spouse was very religious, and their spouse said that we were taught in our religion that certain relations in the marriage are only for procreation. Hallelujah. If you're an adult and you need help with that word, I will explain it to you later. Just come see me. Praise the Lord. But they said that's all it's for. So when, at a certain point, they shut up. Do you know the Bible actually says completely opposite of that? Praise the Lord. There are religions where they don't allow the ministers. We'll just say the ministers, because I don't want to just name call anybody. But they won't allow the ministers to marry. Praise the Lord. That's not the truth of the word. The word says if you can't control yourself, you better marry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad that my faith tells me that. Because I'm somebody who am glad for the benefits that we get, hallelujah, from being married. Praise God. And you should be too, because most of the people are. You know what's funny is one of the biggest religions that does that, they were founded on Peter, supposedly. They were founded on Peter, who was also married. So here he is, a priest, and he's married. Praise the Lord. I don't know about all you, but that's... But see, people will hold on to their religion, and they won't accept the word of God because, well, we've done this all the time this way. But people will do that when they don't have religion. They'll come into the church, and they'll come from a life of snarf, a life of trouble, a life of trial. They come in the church to get help, and then the pastor starts presenting them with the way to change. He starts presenting the word, and they're like, they reject it. And they're like, this is the thing I always do. This is what I was always comfortable with, so that's what they always go back to. You know what the Bible says about that? As a dog returns to its own vomit, or a sow to its wallowing in the mire, so does a fool to his folly. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says about that. I don't know the exact reference. Maybe you could look it up for me so they know I'm not lying. Praise God. But you understand, see, the Bible tells us that we need to be wise. We need to, you know, there's one part, and I think it's in Acts, where they talked about a certain group of people that they searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught was the actual word of God, was the truth. Amen? Do you know there's some religions that for a time, people didn't even have a Bible. They wouldn't even allow them to bring it into the, because you just as lay people, you weren't qualified enough to read this Bible. This actually happened, and not very long ago, you understand. This is the way people think. And see, this is why people have gotten so far off. People say things like, the Lord works in mysterious ways. These are some of the sacred cows I love to step all over. Except God has given us answers to everything. God tells us that his spirit, that only evil keeps secrets. Yeah, it's evil if it's secret. Praise the Lord. I don't keep secrets. I don't keep secrets from my spouse. Why? Because it's evil if I do. How can two people who become one keep a secret against each other? If you're keeping a secret against your spouse, you're acting in line with the devil. I don't care what you think, you're acting in line with the devil. You cannot keep secrets against the one that God said that you became part of and then expect to be blessed. It won't happen. It's not going to happen. I don't care what else you do. You can tithe, you can give, you can do all. You can go out and feed the poor, you can go out, you can go to church. Every time the church is open, you can clean the church by yourself. You can do everything else. But if you got your marriage online, God can't bless you. Praise God. There are no secrets. There are no secrets with God. He doesn't work in mysterious ways. He gave us a whole book of how he works. But see, because people believe he works in mysterious ways, right? I think there's even, isn't there a religious thing that says God works in mysterious ways and someone answers with something else, his mysteries to perform, something crazy like that? I don't know. I've heard that before. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense according to Bible. The Bible. I don't care what religion says. We don't care. Praise God. This is a good introduction. I don't care what I don't care what religion says. I care what the Bible says, because this is the Word of God. This church isn't the Word of God. This is the Word of God. The pastor isn't the Word of God. The church, the Bible's Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs 12:14. Love Proverbs. Good book. Amen. Anybody else agree? Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Don't make me start preaching. Glory. Proverbs 12:14. Praise God. Hallelujah. A man or a woman. I said, Pastor, it doesn't say a woman in there. Well, you understand that the Bible was written in a place, in a time period, that was a masculine-based society, and man... mostly mankind, hallelujah. It's not that God didn't love man as much as when, it's just that, you understand, it wasn't, praise the Lord. We're in a society today that's got just about everything screwed up, in case you didn't know. And so you can't listen, if you think in line with the way society thinks, you're screwed up too, praise the Lord. Let's think of the way God thinks. A man or woman, a person, will be satisfied with good by the fruit of their mouth, hallelujah. It will be satisfied. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. Well, we will, just so you don't think that I'm trying to cover something up here. And the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. In other words, what you do with your hands is what you're going to get. Praise the Lord. Kind of like Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat, kind of thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. But a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. A man will be satisfied by good by the fruit of his mouth. What you say is what you'll get. That's plain and simple. It's that simple. You know, we preached a whole message on it last week. We're preaching a whole other message on it this week, because it's important for us to understand. How you speak is how your life is going to be. It's going to determine the path in which you go. This is not the only scripture, praise the Lord, that tells us this. Fruit is produced by a process. An orange comes from an orange tree. What is coming from your mouth determines what the produce is. What is coming out of your heart is what you're going to be saying. Now, I'm not just talking about just this everyday, like, you know, when you're just talking to somebody, stuff like that. But I'm talking about the things that you're going to confess, the things that you believe in your heart, the things that are in your heart that come out of your mouth. That is what you believe, that is what your faith is, and that is what you'll have. Always. What you, praise God, are we here today? Glory to God. What you are speaking out of your heart is what's coming, it comes out of your mouth, and that determines what you have. If you're constantly in this wrong kind of thinking, God, why are you always doing this to me? Then that is what you're going to have. You're always going to have bad stuff because you don't understand who God is. You're speaking negative faith. You're speaking negative faith. Faith works just the same as positive faith. It's what you believe. It's what you believe you're going to receive. If you constantly believe that you're going to receive bad things, you will constantly speak that you're going to receive bad things, and therefore you will constantly have bad things. Amen? Jesus told us about this. Fruit is produced by a process, and that process comes over time. Sometimes the reason why people can come into the church late in life and they can deal with things because they have been speaking wrong their entire life. Just because you come to church one day doesn't mean that all of a sudden God can wrap up and turn around everything that you've done. This is why we try to get people early. This is why we want to get kids early at a young age, because we get kids speaking right. My daughter, she doesn't know anything other than church. Praise the Lord. She will never speak anything other than what she's heard. Praise the Lord. What she believes is what's in her already. So if you spoke in your life, and we used the example last night. There's that one rock singer who always confessed that he would never make it to 30 years old. And he died at 29 years old. Why? Because that's what his faith was. That's what he believed. Whatever we believe is what we're going to say. And what we're going to say is what we're going to have. Amen? Praise the Lord. John, turn with me to John 15:1. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. That is such a clear scripture. You will have what is coming out of your mouth. You need to check, especially if you are a person who is given to talking. And a lot of us are, amen? A lot of us like to talk, right? We like to tell people about how bad things are, how rough things are, how heavy things are, all that stuff. That is what you're going to continue to have. You are not going to have the freedom until you start speaking the truth of the word. You won't have the breakthrough until you start speaking the truth of the word. Amen? This is not something that is an individual problem. This is something that is a human problem. The reason we preach 2 weeks on this, the reason why I could probably preach more weeks on this, is because this is one of the number one areas where people falter. It's because they always are speaking the wrong thing. People speak the wrong thing. Even good, solid Christians in churches, hallelujah, faithful people, but they speak the wrong things. God cannot work against what your words are. He can't work opposite of what you're calling into existence. God can't do it. Praise God. Ah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know this is going over like a lead brick. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. We have to understand that we can have good in our life, but we're going to have to change the way we're talking. We're going to have to change the way we're doing things. Amen? John 15:1. Praise the Lord. And we're going to read through verse 8. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. God has intended us to bear fruit. A lot of people might ask, and we got some newer people in here, you haven't heard me preach on this before, what's fruit all about? Fruit is simply the thing at the end that you want, right? If you plant a tree in the yard to produce fruit, to produce oranges, to produce apples, to produce pears, whatever, you expect a harvest at the end, right? A farmer, we know a farmer, a grape farmer, and he does cherry trees and stuff too. They've got acres and acres and acres of grapes and cherry trees. Why do they do that? Because that's their livelihood. Because when they get the fruit at the end, they have something to show, to produce money, to produce wealth, to produce things in their life. That's the same thing with us. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Notice first, the branch has to be in him in order to produce anything. Amen? But first you have to be connected to the vine. Connected to the vine is not showing up to church once in a while. Connected to the vine is being all in. That's saying, oh, I want all that God has for me. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get there. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's being connected to the vine. Praise the Lord. People who sit in church every single Sunday aren't necessarily connected to the vine. How do I know? Because they go out and they live opposite of what they were taught the week before. They reject everything that's said. There's people that will say, praise God, I'm not going to get into, glory to God, how do I do? We've seen people, I'll just say this, we've seen people come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, praise the Lord, they give, but they're not connected. How do I know? Because the first thing that turns up, they're gone. They split. See, if you can be removed from the vine that easily, you're not connected to the vine. Hallelujah. So we have to know, we have to know there is an importance to being connected to what God's doing. I hear people all the time that aren't connected in either way. You know, talk about the blessing of God or God coming through. Listen, God will not come through for you if you aren't connected. Why? He can't. He can't go against his word. His word says that we must be connected and we must be producing fruit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Praise the Lord. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. How does he prune it? Well, isn't there something, you know, pruning is a cutting off process, right? Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. When I first learned about pruning when I was younger, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, you go up to something that's healthy and you start cutting things off of it. But why do they prune? Because something that isn't pruned doesn't produce as much. But when you prune it just right, when you know how to prune it and you do it skillfully, what happens is that thing starts producing more and more and more. Amen? And until it yields so much. I mean, they've gotten trees down. They've got these cherry trees down to these really small trees that produce just hordes of cherries. It's amazing how they've done it genetically and all this other stuff. But it's through a pruning process, you know. But it's that cutting away. Sometimes you're going to come into church, you're going to hear something you don't like. That's that snipping. God's trying to just prune you. He wants you to get, you know, because like people will, like I remember when I came into church, I wasn't the faith giant, the wonderful God-fearing, serving Christian that you see before you today. Praise the Lord. I wasn't that awesome guy. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was a much less awesome guy. I was still pretty awesome, but I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But you understand, when we came into church, there was a lot of things we had screwed up in our thinking. So what did we do? We sat in church week after week, month after month, year after year. God was pruning. Every time my pastor was preaching, he was pruning, cutting something off. He's cutting that stinking thinking out. And as we said, okay, you know, what a lot of people do is they get something cut off and they pick it back up and try to graft it back in. God said, no, this is a disease branch. And they're like, I don't care. I want it. I liked it there. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what people do all the time. You say, wait a minute, that's bad thinking. I don't care. This is what I want. This is what I want. This is what I think is right. I don't care what you think is right. What you think is right don't matter. How far did what you think is right got you before? Well, praise the Lord. If you think it was doing good, then you don't need church. Just go out there and live on your own, thinking what you want to think and doing what you want to do. You will have the same result you always had. Why? Because your thinking does not get you there. The Bible tells us that our thinking is not good. Man doesn't think like God thinks. God designed you. Amen? So we need to learn how to think like he thinks. Amen? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So he prunes every branch that it may bear more fruit. Hallelujah. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Praise God. Abide in me and I in you. Abide means to remain, endure, not to be different. When you abide in something, you are part of that. Hallelujah. If you abide in my house, you are part of my household. If you don't abide in my house, you are not part of my household. If you abide with Jesus, you are part of his household. If you don't abide in him, how do you know you abide in him? Do you get in his word? Do you let his word in? Hallelujah. When his word, let's see, Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. Hallelujah. Jesus is knocking. Are you listening? A lot of people, they just don't want to listen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. But that's the truth. They just don't want to listen. And that's why they don't have what God asked for. Listen, God's promises, I am proof positive that God's promises work on any fool. Any fool. I was the foolest of fools. Hallelujah. The fooliest of fools. That's what I wanted to say. I don't care if it's right. I said it anyways. Hallelujah. I was the fooliest of fools. I had the number one fool merit badge. Hallelujah. And I wore it proudly. Glory to God. But see, the reason that my life has changed is because I got and started doing God's word. I learned about God's word. Even today, when I do something foolish, it doesn't work out for me. But when I change it around and I let God prune it off and I get back into his word, then it works. It's just the way that it goes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We must live in God. We read John 8:31-32. That's where the freedom is abiding in Jesus, abiding in the word. Jesus is the word. The word is Jesus. You can't separate the two. That's why Christians, I've heard Christians say, well, you know, that Bible was written by man. No, it wasn't written by man. It was authored by God. First of all, praise the Lord. And it was inspired by the Holy Ghost through man's hands. So physically it was done, but the physical process doesn't make... Your car may have been built by robots. Does that make a difference? No, it doesn't make any difference at all. Hallelujah. They're learning that at the fast food restaurants. Glory to God. Yeah, glory to God. They're trying to get things so expensive at the fast food restaurants that what they're doing is they're just putting in everything automated. They're just kicking people right to the car. We don't need people anymore. It doesn't matter. We can make burgers with people or without people. We can cash you out with people or without people. It doesn't matter. You understand? It's not that stuff that matters. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What matters is the intent that was behind it. You know, I said this before. There's the same words in here in our English. So you pick up a newspaper, read the same words that are in here in the newspaper. The power is not in the words. It's in the intent in the words. It's what God intended by it, praise the Lord. So if you believe that this is just something man came up with, well, first of all, you're a moron. You don't know what you're talking about, praise the Lord. And I don't mean to call you a moron, but I did because you are. Hallelujah. It's not because I don't love you. I do love you. I love lots of morons. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love them all the way. And some people get offended by that. And you know what? I really don't care. I don't care if people get offended by it because it's the truth. If you don't follow the word, you're just as dumb as the next dummy. Hallelujah. I sense that it really got somebody stirred. I didn't even see it, but I sense it got somebody stirred. And I'll tell you something. Good. Let it stir you up. Let it get some of that religious thinking out of you because it's time you stop thinking stupid. Praise the Lord. You remember Forrest Gump even said, stupid is as stupid does. Right? Mama always said, what? It's probably a bad movie, but I mean, we all know it probably, right? Probably somebody watched it at some point, but even if you haven't, you've heard the phrase before, stupid is as stupid does, right? That means that whatever's being done stupid determines the stupidity of the stupid one doing it. Yeah. That's the truth. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're excited. Glad that's helping you. Hallelujah. Christians, we cannot continue to do the same thing we always did, not according to the word of God, and expect to be helped. It ain't going to work. I can't pray. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I can't pray stupid out of people. I can't do it. People come to me and say, I've been doing this. Pray for me. And I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. Do you understand that? There is nothing I can do about that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you an example. People will do things in their body that causes sickness in their body. And then they will come want healing. And they'll want people to pray for it. And guess what? My prayer isn't going to work. Because until you stop doing that thing that's making you sick, you ain't going to get better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am constantly convicted about things, about my weight, about the amount that I exercise and stuff. Why do I keep pressing into these things I don't like to do, like going to the gym? I hate going to the gym. I hate working out. I think it's the dumbest thing that we have to do. Praise the Lord. But I do it anyways. Why? Because I know that if I don't, I'm going downhill fast. How do I know that? Because I've been going downhill fast. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then I go there and we like the trainer that we've been using, but we also hate her. Because she's mean. She's mean. She is awesome, but she's mean. She's nice when she's doing it, so she makes you think like she's, you know, like you're doing something good, but it's... But you know, the Bible says that even bodily exercise profits for something. You know what I mean? Praise God, hallelujah. It's just the truth, folks. We can't constantly be running our lives down the toilet and then expect God to constantly be pulling us out, because He can't. He can't operate against what we're doing, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we are getting somewhere. My pages are flipping, amen? Hallelujah, where are we at? Praise God. Verse 4. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. That's someone who is not abiding under the direction and leading of God. You are cast out and withered. When I came to this life, I look at pictures. I saw videos of myself when Marky was just a baby. And man, just even the look on my face was different. Everything about me was different. I was rough. I was rough as you can get. Praise God, hallelujah, for His delivering power. Amen? But the countenance on my face was different. My speech was different. It was rough. It was coarse. It was crude. Praise God. If anyone does not abide in me, is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. This is what we're getting to. This is what it means to abide in Christ. His words abide in us. Praise the Lord. His words abide in us. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. How many people that call themselves Christians actually ever see this? I know people that pray to God, and the only way they pray to God is more from a standpoint, oh, I hope He does it, rubbing the lucky rabbit's foot of prayer. Pray for me. 15,000 people got to pray for me. If I can get just 20 people to pray for me, maybe God will hear. See, you don't even know God's word. God's word said you pray. Jesus said that you will have whatever you say. Jesus said you will have whatever you say. You know, Jesus, that Son of God, that guy that came to earth, you know what I mean, lived as a man, kicked the devil's butt, got beat up, got thrown into hell, came back out of hell. You remember that guy? Now sits on the throne next to God, the one that saved your sorry butt. You remember, you know that Jesus I'm talking about? Yeah, that Jesus, that one, he said that you will have what you say. Mark 11:23, if you don't believe me. He said, whatever you believe and you say, that's what you're going to have. So you believe it, you say it, that's what you're going to have. You believe and say bad things, guess what you're going to have? Bad things. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. I said, that's what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. He didn't say you'll ask what I desire. You ain't going to ask what Joe Bob down the street desires. No, you're going to ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That's called praying from a place of faith. You know, a lot of people go to prayer to God, and they say, well, I don't know if you'll do this. That's not praying from a place of faith, and you're not going to get what you desire. Why? Because you're not praying from faith. You're speaking garbage. Yeah, God hears lack of faith as garbage. It's garbage to God. It's like puke in his mouth. I know that's a graphic version. Hey, we're going to get graphic here because the Bible's graphic. Do you realize that Jesus said if you're lukewarm, that means you're kind of in and you're kind of out. You're not fully on fire. He said, I would rather you be cold or hot. He said, if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus Christ said that. Hallelujah. So if Jesus said he can puke you up, I can say puke in church too. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. People, see, Christians, they think they can be partially on board. They think that it's going to be fine. It ain't going to be fine. Jesus himself said he will vomit you out of his mouth. Well, praise God, glory to God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know what? Praise God. How far do you want me to go with that, Lord? Well, if it comes up again, I will believe that it's from you, and I will run with it. Praise the Lord. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God is glorified when we bear much fruit. That's why when you ask what you desire, that thing is fruit. Amen. Don't you desire the fruit? Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You know, Sometimes it's because of the preaching of it. Sometimes it's because of the receiving of it. But I'm going to tell you right now that this message is not getting received in here well today. And this is a correction because I'm not going to preach a message that people don't care about. And so if people don't care, I can close down the service and I will leave. And we will go on and have our Easter Sunday and be together with our family. I don't do this for people who don't care about it. I do this because I want people's lives to change. And so if you're one of those people that don't care about it, you might, and I'm sorry if there's some new people in here and you understand. This is the way that it goes. Praise the Lord. We don't preach a flowery message around here so you can pat you on the back and make you feel good. We preach a message that'll change lives. And it changes the lives by people connecting to it. So if people are going to be in here, they're going to be connected to it. Praise the Lord. They're going to get what God has. But if you're not going to be connected to it, you're not going to get it. Glory to God. God wants us to have things. He wants us to walk in power. Jesus didn't die so that we could be defeated. He didn't die so we would be weak. He didn't die so we would sit there and hear a message that, well, oh, glory to God. Do you know how many times Jesus offended people? He offended people, and he offended people. Everyone left him, and he turned to his disciples, and he said, aren't you going too? And they said, because they knew the truth, they said, where else will we go, Lord? Well, it's the same thing. Well, where else are you going to go hear the word? Where else are you going to have your life changed? Praise the Lord. You came in here for a reason. You came in here because you needed something changed. I know it because I know most of you. Praise the Lord. I know why I came to church, because I needed something to change. And if you're going to get something to change, then you got to connect with it and say, by God, it's going to change, because I'm tired of the devil walking on me. Amen. I'm going to receive what the Lord has for me. Praise the Lord. God is glorified when we bear fruit. He is not glorified when we don't bear fruit. You know how I know this? Look at the way the church looks today. You go out there and you listen to Christians talk about how they're constantly broken. They're constantly defeated. They never know how they're going to make it through. They never know how they're going to get to the other side. That is not glorifying God, who paid the price so they could get everything that they ever needed. Hallelujah. That isn't glorifying God at all. That makes God look like an absolute joke. It makes Christianity look like foolishness. Yes, absolutely. The world looks at Christians today and they think that our faith is foolishness. You know why? Because they don't see the power of God in it. It's time that Christians start showing people the power of God, and they're only going to show it by the way they live their lives, the way they act, the way they receive the word. When they hear the word and they say, yes, this is how it changes. It doesn't change by the things I always did. It changes by the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 12:33. Praise God, hallelujah. That preacher, he's so mad. He gets so angry. He gets so fired up. Praise God, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, Jesus was a bold preacher. I'll be, you know, don't make me be Jesus. He came in there with a whip. Yeah, hallelujah. You know, actually, somebody pointed this out recently, and I saw this. You know, Jesus went in the temple, saw things he didn't like. He said he made a whip. He made a whip. He took his time. Yeah? Oh, he sat down. Started wrapping those, you know, weaving those strings of leather together. I can just imagine what's going through his mind. I'm about to take this. You know, see something? Praise the Lord. They don't have any idea what's going on. Praise the Lord. I can braid. This has my daughter. I can braid. Praise the Lord. I braid that pretty long hair. Hallelujah. I can braid. Hallelujah. We'll braid that whip. We get that whip cracking. Hallelujah. We cracking on people. Say, hey, glory. Get it right. Amen. We want to be right with God. We want to be right before the Lord. Praise the Lord. We don't want to be a den of thieves. Amen. The Bible was meant to change lives. So many people are letting the world change the word, change the scripture. What God said is what God said. It doesn't change. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 12:33. What does it say here? We're talking a lot about fruit. Amen? We're going to talk some more about fruit. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. That's how a tree is known. Right? By its fruit. You ever seen those, is it crab apples that you can't eat? Yeah. It wouldn't be good, right? You ever see that? Yeah, most people know that. Like, even I know that. I don't even know what a crab apple is, but I know that, right? But I knew that if I walked up to a crab apple and got it, not one of those big, and I bit into it, it wouldn't be good, right? Right. Tree is known by its fruit. People aren't planting orchards of crab apples, are they? No, they're not. They're you remember those things I brought that one time when I came back from California for the church, the kumquats? Remember those things? Some of you tried those? You remember that? Oh, you don't remember that? Well, we had a lot less people then, but I brought back some kumquats. You ever had a kumquat? They tell you, they say you pop that thing in your mouth, they say it'll be bitter at first, but you bite into it and it'll be sweet. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. It's bad all the way through. Every chew I had of that thing. And then the guy had some that were dried out. That's what I brought back. He had some that were dried out. He said, well, we dry these. Well, usually you dry out some because you like, you know, it's another flavor of it. You know, I dried out strawberries and stuff. They still taste good. Fresh strawberries good. Dried out strawberries good. Strawberry leather, you know, that's good too. The fruit by the foot, all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Kumquats ain't ever good. I don't care what you do to them. You can pile sugar on them things, they still taste bad. Why? Because once the sugar's gone, then you taste that nasty stuff in your mouth. Hallelujah. We had some people try them. And, well, praise God. Hallelujah. There's probably some kumquat lovers in here. They'll be posting on their kumquat Facebook page. Don't go to that church down there. He's a kumquat hater. Praise the Lord. Well, there's worse things I could be, I guess. But I'm not planting many kumquat trees. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the fruit is bad. I don't like it. Amen? A tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Notice this is connected to the fruit again. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is inside you is what's going to come out. That's why we need to change what's inside of us. And I'm not saying you need to change who you are. I'm saying we need to change what we believe, what our beliefs are, what our belief system is, what we see God, how we see God. We need to change all this thinking. That's what a good church is supposed to do to people. It's supposed to get that bad thinking out of them and put the truth of the word in them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. What is this talking about? How do you bring forth the evil things? Through the words of your mouth. Is there anybody who can deny that that's what this is saying? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you don't, because we'd have to call you out. Because that's what it's saying here. Then it goes on to say, we're still in context, verse 36, but I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Praise God. They will give an account of it in the day of judgment for every idle word. Idle is inactive, unemployed, lazy, useless, or barren. That's what idle means when you look in the original language. Praise the Lord. But I say to you that for every idle, inactive, unemployed, lazy, useless, barren words that men may speak. How many people speak those kind of words? They speak useless words, worthless words. They just say things that people, some people just talk to talk. Yeah, they spew off at the mouth. Have you ever done that? Oh, glory to God, I'm famous for that. I get mad. I get fired up. I'm a lot better now than I used to be. A lot better than I used to be. Ain't I? A lot better than I used to be, praise the Lord. She used to take the blunt of it, glory to God. She stuck it through, though. Praise the Lord, that's why she's blessed. Because she dealt with me. But praise the Lord, I would just get mad and infuriated and just start blah, 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 just start saying stuff. It just come out of my mouth. It was like vomit coming out of my mouth, right? And people, how many times have you ever known somebody like that? Those aren't the people you want to be friends with, that you want to have around. I had a friend, actually, who was worse than I was. I ain't going to say his name, but he was worse than I was. I mean, he would say stupid things. He would say really stupid things sober. But then when we would get all messed up, hopped up on whatever he would say even dumber things. Yeah, because, you know, I lived that lifestyle. I wasn't built out of spare angel parts, amen. Praise the Lord. I crawled out of some gutter somewhere, and this is what you got. They made me a pastor. Hallelujah. Well, they did it through a process, you know. It was a process of time. But this, I mean, he would say horrible things, praise the Lord. And people got to the point where even his best friends got to the point where, like, I don't want nothing to do with him anymore. Finally, they didn't. Everybody just kind of left him because they were tired of hearing his garbage. Do you ever know somebody like that? They're constantly just da 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 da, and you're like, blah! Stop! Just shut up! You're saying dumb things. You ever want to say that? Well, you should become a pastor because I'm not allowed to say that anymore. Yeah, they took that right away from me. They took the "you say dumb things" card out of my pocket. Yeah, I'm not joking. I'm not allowed to. What's that? Except for in the pulpit. That's why I get so mean here. Hallelujah. That's why I get so, yeah, because then I can say it. Hallelujah. But you know, seriously, people, I gotta go, oh, that's okay. You know, I gotta be nice. Well, there's a point in time, but you understand, we gotta endure long. Hallelujah. You gotta long stuff. Yeah, that's fine too. I love being a pastor. Pastor is my favorite thing. You know why? Because it's a blessing of the Lord. Yeah. It's a blessing of the Lord to see lives change. Yeah. Glory to God. You know, we were talking about our brother and sister John and Liz here. We've seen so much change in their lives from when we first entered their lives. Praise the Lord. When we first started seeing them. You know, and it's not us, it's the Lord. You know, but they made that connection with God, and it's just amazing where they've come from. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. They just got the nicest car they've ever had. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because God's good. Amen. Yeah, God cares about your cars. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you just sit around thinking about what you're going to get from God all the time. But when you serve like they do, praise the Lord, guess what happens? God starts blessing you. Praise the Lord. Liz got a new job this last year that was better paying than she was able to, you know, get. They were able to get their first house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? Because God's good. Amen. Their family coming to the Lord, serving God too. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. My son Mark here is another example. Praise God. He went through hell in some of his jobs. All of a sudden, guess what? Lord opens, because his faithfulness, he stays faithful. God opens a door for him to actually finally make some decent money and get a job that he actually enjoys. Hallelujah. Why? That's how good our God is. See, this is what comes from being taught right. Because these people I'm presenting before you too, they speak right. They talk right. I'm not saying they're perfect in their speech or anything like that. But they've learned these principles and they've took hold of them. They say, hey, you know what? I want me some of that. Amen? And that's what we need to do. God isn't a respecter of persons. He doesn't care who you are. You know, God doesn't necessarily put us all on an even playing field. Some people will be born into great wealth. I know I have a friend I had lunch with the other day. He was born into money. Never knew what it's like to be poor a day in his life. In fact, what he thought was poor was some of my rich. Yeah. Amen. That's the truth of it. Now me, I wasn't born into that same boat. I remember days when I didn't know how I was gonna buy a gallon of milk. I didn't know how I was gonna do, just the basic things that I needed to do. When we would get my boys, when my wife and I first got together, we'd get my boys. I couldn't even have them over to my house because I couldn't afford anything. I couldn't even afford to feed them. We heated a little one-room apartment with a little electric space heater because we couldn't get the gas turned back on because the gas hadn't been paid. Yeah, I'm telling you, I understand what it's like to be reaching up to touch bottom. I also understand what following the Word of God does. Learning these principles and confessing the right things, it changes your life. Why? Because Jesus said it would. He said, didn't he say that you will ask what you desire and you'll have it? What does that come from? That comes from your mouth, folks. Well, I don't know if God will do that. Then I don't know if you're going to have that. Because I don't know if you're going to change what you're saying. Until I know that, I can tell you you ain't going to have it. Amen? God wants us blessed, but we're not going to get there by speaking idle words. We're not going to get there by speaking foolishness. Amen? Or being foolish. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's turn to Psalm 141. Actually, you know what? Don't turn there. I'm just gonna read it to you. You're going to see it up here, Psalm 141, 3. Go ahead and write it down if you want. Look at it later. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. It's interesting it uses the word door there, too. You know why? What's a doorway? Doorway is how you enter or exit, isn't it? Think about that. You want to enter into the blessing of God? You want to exit the trial? The door in your lips. Notice what the psalmist says here. He says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Watch what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. Have you ever met those people? Glory to God, we have them in churches sometimes. I don't think we have many in here, if we have any. I don't know. I'm not thinking about anybody in particular, but I don't necessarily. But I remember there was this one lady, older lady in the church, church we came out of that we were raised up in, praise God. And everybody learned that you don't ask her how she's doing. You know those people, you're just like, hey, how's it going? You know, that's generally a question that you don't need a full answer to, right? Generally speaking, when people say, hey, how's it going? They're not asking you for every terrible thing that happened in your week. And if you're a person that thinks that that's what it is, well, then you got to get over into the realm of being self-aware. You know, you have to understand that people don't necessarily want to hear in the first 10 seconds that they saw you. They don't want to hear everything that's gone wrong in your week. Praise the Lord. Well, first of all, that's not faith. Yeah, things may be going wrong, and that's what people do. They talk about what's going wrong so they never get the fix, instead of talking about just how good God is. When something goes wrong in my life, I start talking about how good God is. Why? Because he's promised to get me out. God promised to get me out. I believe that. And so that's what I say. When something starts falling apart, I say, well, God's good. He'll take care of it. When people start doing things wrong, well, God's good. He'll get us out of it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God's leading. He put things on my heart for the church, big, grand things. And I'm like, Lord, how we get there? No, I don't do that. I don't sit there, Lord, how are we going to ever do this? And God's good. So be it. Come to pass. It'll happen. It's all going to happen. Why? Because God's good. He's going to get us there. See, we talk about the right things. You see the right things happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Set a guard over my, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Keep watch. Amen. We have ushers that watch the doors. Why do they watch the doors? Because they're going to keep the wrong people from coming in, and or they'll kick the wrong people out. You know what I mean? Don't get carried out of here by an usher. You don't want to do that. Amen. Just come in and be a right person. Hallelujah. But there are times when wrong people come in. Not everybody comes into a church is there for the right reason. Yeah, see, some churches, they'll let anybody come in and not care. We don't let anybody just come in and not care. We care about who comes through the door. Why? Because I know for a fact that there's child molesters that go into churches and they target them because they're easy targets. Ain't going to happen here. Hallelujah, ain't going to happen here. If I find out you can come in if you truly want to get helped by the Lord, but you're also going to be watched by somebody. So praise the Lord. If everywhere you go, you got an usher following you, you better check up on your background because we did. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm saying. You know, we don't check up on everybody. You know what I'm saying. But we do watch things when we know things. Sure. Certainly when people come in acting squirrely, you got to watch that kind of stuff sometimes. Well, praise the Lord. Why? Because we're not going to be we're not a weak church. We're not a church that's going to be taken over. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is why we don't let anybody be in. Yeah, it's a safe church. We don't let anybody in the nursery. Why? Because would you let your kid just be watched by anybody? No, absolutely not. We make sure we trust the people that are in there. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, we do background checks on the nursery workers or anybody who works with the children. Why? Because we love our kids. Right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's good. No charge. Free, no charge. James 3:2. God is real good. He is so good. You know, confessing that isn't a bad thing, but we need to also believe. See, that's the other side of confession. Confessing, and this is really what we're talking about here, is confession, what we confess, the words that come out of our mouths. But we have to believe those things too. We can confess God's good, but if we don't really truly believe it, then we're not going to see that goodness. James 3:2. Hallelujah. James 3:2-3:6. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle the whole body. If you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. Indeed, now look at this. I love this example that's used here. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Have you ever seen a horse? I think more than two people have, right? Praise the Lord. We have a horse rider back here. Praise God for her. But we got horses, and you see horses all the time. I'm kind of scared of horses. You know what I mean? Because they're a lot bigger than I am. And you don't really ever know what they're going to do. I don't like walking behind horses. Well, I've seen too many YouTube videos. That's why I don't like it. You can do whatever you want. You can pat and be nice to them. But there's just too much power back there for me to walk back there and grab hold of it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to be on that side of them. Cows the same way. There's just too much. And they're quick, too, right? But there's power. But think about that. We have Jill. Jill, can you raise your hand over here? We don't want to embarrass you. Jill isn't a very overly large girl. She's a nice petite girl back here. But she can get on a horse, and that horse will go where you want it, won't it? Why does it go where you want it? Because you can control it with the thing in its mouth, right? You tell it the bit, right? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Well, how can a little girl control an animal so large? Because of what's in its mouth. That's the example it's using here. Amen? Are our lives, sometimes aren't the things in our lives huge? You ever have a kicking horse in your life? Amen? Amen? I've had some kicking horses in my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. I ain't going to tell you what their names are either. But I've had some kicking horses in my life. Amen? And you just can't get away from the back end of these ones sometimes. You know what I'm saying? You've been there. You've been behind a horse and just want, you can't get out from, sometimes the front of them are bad too. Aren't zebras kind of horses? Yeah, you know all about that, right? We went to this deer park thing. They got zebras at the deer park. Hallelujah. But a zebra is kind of like a horse, and it different colored and painted differently and stuff like that. But there are a lot of similarities with it. But it didn't like us. Definitely didn't like him. It bit him. Bit him right through the fence, amen? Bit his butt. Shirt. Bit something, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter what he bit. He bit you, amen? My point is this. You can't trust them from the front end or the back end. It doesn't matter what you have. You just can't trust them things. So stay away from them. Hallelujah. But if you had some biting horses, if you had things that come against you in your life, those are big things, right? You steer it with your mouth. Yeah, hallelujah. You steer it with your tongue. You can steer all those. You ever have that mountain rise up in front of you? You swear to God that mountain's on wheels, right? And somebody just wheeled that mountain right in front of you. You're like, how did that get there? You didn't see that coming. You know, normally when you're driving down the road, now around here we got hills. We got rolling hills. It's nice. We got some big hills, and you can see them from a distance. But, you know, I was just down in Tennessee, and they got some bigger mountains down there. I was out in California. They got these huge mountains out there, right? Amen. You fly over the Rockies, huge big mountains, and you can see them coming up. Praise the Lord. But isn't it weird how sometimes those mountains come to you, and they come quickly? They just rise up out of nowhere. You're like, where did this come from? We got some continental movement here, some continental shelves shifting and thrusting things up in front of me. Mount Everest, you know, huge in the air. Hallelujah. You see it coming? Praise the Lord. You ever had something in your life you felt like Mount Everest? You feel like, I can't climb over that because I'll get to the top and pass out, surely. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? We know what we've all been there. Hallelujah. How do you control it? With your mouth. Jesus gave us the power right in our lips. Yeah, that little stink hole right below your nose. You know what I mean? Isn't it weird how you can have smells coming out of your mouth? And your nose is right there, but your nose just can't detect it. Other people can detect it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what is that? That is a trick. That's a little bit of a trick, I think, of the Lord. I think he kind of just kind of threw that in there. He's like, you can't smell it, but everybody else can. Hallelujah. But that's how sometimes people talk like that. It's kind of like that. It's kind of stinky like that. And you're like, oh, glory, glory. And you want to help them, but it's just like, you know. Praise the Lord. Just give me a spiritual toothbrush and I'll start scrubbing for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouths. Jill, how'd you get me on all that? We were talking about horses and you got me talking about everything else. I'll just blame it on her. We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Yeah, you got these huge boats, the aircraft carriers and stuff like that, and they just move with a small rudder comparatively, right? Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Yeah, a forest fire can start just by a little spark, and he's comparing that to the words of our mouths. Amen? You can have such a destruction in your life just by those words that you've been letting out. Amen? We want to speak right. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell itself. You know what that's saying? It's basically that a tongue that isn't controlled, that isn't bridled, that does whatever, it's got the very fire from hell in it. It can just control and destroy lives. That isn't what God intended it for. But see, God couldn't give us one without giving us the other. He couldn't give us free will without the chance that we would do bad things with it. That's why God doesn't control everything. Another one of those religious devils I like to kick and sacred cows that we like to step on and stuff like that. You know, God doesn't control everything. We control things. The Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us God doesn't control everything. He says he controls what we allow him to control. Yeah. He controls what we allow him to control. Some people you can show them scripture after scripture. They still don't like to hear that. They still don't like to hear that. But you'll never see in the Bible. The Bible says that God gave us dominion on the earth. And then Jesus said that we do things with our words. We change our life with our words, not his words, not with his power. How many times Jesus laid hands on people and healed them? And he said, by your faith, you are whole. Your faith has made you whole. He didn't say by my power. Praise the Lord. He came to show us something, didn't he? The just shall live by faith. But the just don't live by faith anymore. A lot of Christians, they just don't know. They don't understand what it is to live by faith anymore. Praise God. It's the truth. We can control our whole world. We can control with the words that come out of our mouths. Praise the Lord. That's why it's important. We're going to close with this scripture, Matthew 15:11. Hallelujah. Matthew 15:11. Matthew 15:11. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Defiles, it means polluted. It's not what goes into the mouth that pollutes a person, but what comes out of the mouth. What comes out of your mouth can pollute your whole life. You determine the course of your life by the words of your mouth. God has not started us all necessarily on a level playing field. We're not all started. Some people are started rich. Some people are started poor. Some people are started able. Some people are started not as able. But God's given us one equalizer, and that is that thing that is right below our nose. It's called our mouth. That is the equalizer. He said, when we speak in faith, we can change anything. We can change anything into anything. We can go in any direction. We can change the course of our direction. We can change our ship's course. Hallelujah. Husbands and wives, think about this. You don't like where your house is going. Start speaking differently. Start talking differently. Husbands, you don't like what your wives are doing. Wives, you don't like what your husbands are doing. Start speaking differently. I don't mean you don't speak to them. That's not. Praise the Lord. The Bible has things to say about that too. But you start speaking out. You start speaking things into your life. What you want to see differently. If you don't have the things that you need, then you start calling those things that be not as though they were. And you start seeing them change. Praise the Lord. Business owners, start speaking things differently. You know, when it's hard, you say, glory to God, this business thrives. You say, glory to God that I'm going on into the next level. Praise the Lord. I got favor. I got the right jobs. I got the right work that comes in. Employees, you work for somebody, start speaking the right things. I have favor with my boss. Hallelujah. I have favor with my company. Praise the Lord. Mark, this is a great example right here. He has been seeing this. He got favor from the get-go with this new job. Why? Because the right things are said. He's not going to do the wrong things. He's not going to live the wrong way. Praise the Lord. We're going to live the right way. We're going to have the things, the right things, the things God intended. We're going to do it through the words of our mouth. We're going to change our direction. We're going to set the course by the words of our mouth. We're going to go where we need to go by the words of our mouth. We're going to follow God by the words of our mouth. We'll say, yes, Lord, I will do that. Yes, Lord, I'll go. And you watch how it comes to pass. Praise the Lord. That is one of the most Eastery messages you can possibly have. Praise the Lord, because Jesus died to give us that ability. To put that power back right there in our lips, to get us that knowledge. Jesus died so we could have that. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that it's through confession that salvation comes. It's through what we say. Salvation doesn't come any other way but believing it in your heart and confessing it with your mouth. And that's the way it is with everything else. It's a promise of God.